Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drink snacks, they roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. It's going to be 73 tomorrow and sunny for the Blue White game. Parking lots are dry. Come on up. Join us, parking free, admission free. And you need to make sure you're stocked for the tailgate. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, coming up this half hour, in a moment, Terry Smith, talk about the corners. Later this half hour, Christian Hackenberg. And then in the final half hour, Ross Travis on his decision to enter the NFL draft. All right, let's now bring in Terry Smith in charge of the corners for the Nittany Lions. Terry, great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Steve.
Terry, let's talk about the guys at your spot, the corners. The progress that Grant Haley and Trevor Williams have made, what have you seen in their cover skills and their leverage skills as time has gone on this spring?
I think both guys have had tremendous spring efforts. We set several goals for both of these guys coming into spring that, you know, we wanted to make some improvement on, you know, challenging releases at the line of scrimmage. Maintaining some leverage on some stems that we get from receivers and just challenging more balls in the air. And I think both guys have really responded really well through the spring. I'm very happy with both guys. I think they're both playing at an elite level at this point. And, you know, clearly we still need to make some more improvement through the summer. But I'm very pleased with our progress so far.
Before you got here, Trevor Williams had played one season at wide receiver, then was flipped over to corner. It's going to be an adjustment anytime that happens. Now that you've had him into a second year, Terry, where is he better now and more comfortable now compared to the guy that you had a year ago?
Well, I mean, Trevor's a very consistent performer, very smart. So, you know, even in the fall season, he made very few mental errors. Where he's a ton better now is challenging routes, getting his hands on more balls. He's had three or four picks through the spring and becoming a lockdown type corner where he can handle all the field situations and one-on-one situations. We're able to play a little bit more man, be a little bit more aggressive in the box because now we have guys on the perimeter that can cover.
Yeah, Terry. Grant Haley, I said, with maybe an exception somewhere along the line, nobody's going to outrun him deep on a route. It just seems to me he looks like he's better with understanding leverage now. Am I right or wrong about that?
You're correct. He's improved tremendously. It's tough as a true freshman coming in, and, you know, Grant not only learned the boundary position, he learned the field position, and he also learned our nickel position, which we call the star. He's the fastest player on our team, and this spring you can see him playing at that elite speed that he has. His leverage is very good. He understands stems and sticks that the receivers are presenting to him. And he's a lot more aggressive. He's a lot more comfortable. He's a lot more confident in his abilities, and it's shown tremendously through the spring.
Well, a couple guys beyond those two that have stuck out to you that have made some progress for you.
Well, I'll tell you, we've been really thin all spring, but Christian Campbell hasn't performed much. He is a guy that through the summer, you know, we need him to have a very good summer. We're expecting to have him contribute a lot. You know, he played a lot in the fall. He's a really good cover guy. He's got length. He's got really good size, he's a good tackler in space, so he contributes well on special teams. And you know, we're looking for him to be in a star, a nickel or dime type situation. You know, he would be the third corner to come into the game. Also, Amani Arulule, you know, he's had a good week this week for us. He also brings a lot of length. He brings a bigger, more physical corner to us. And he's had a really good spring for us. So, you know, we're looking for those two guys. And, you know, there's a few other guys that, you know, through the summer right. could make an impact as well.
Yeah, I want to get to Amani Oyewere for a moment. Because at one point, you know, it started out where he did some work at safety, and then he flipped back to corner. I think there's a perception that you can just go from one to the other and it's no big deal. It's a far greater challenge to actually go between the two positions. What are the specific challenges that makes it where it's really not as easy as it's perceived, like, oh, I'm a safety, now I'm a corner?
Yeah, it's challenging because as a safety, you're more like the quarterback of the defense. You're getting guys aligned. You're making sure the linebackers are covering their gaps and responsibilities and getting the corners into their specific coverages. As a corner, your job is much more technical. You know, our assignment isn't quite as difficult, but our responsibility is a lot more difficult because now you're in a lot more one-on-one situations where it's really technical, and just one misstep or one false step could be the difference in a completion or a touchdown.
A couple guys that you've got, one you had for a period of time and then two others that have been there the entire time, Jordan Smith. And tell us a little bit about Kyle Austin and Desi Davis.
Well, Kyle Austin and Desi Davis, they're two walk-on guys that have been tremendous for us this spring. You know, we were thin at the corner position all spring, and those two guys stepped up, and they've made tremendous strides all spring. They're going to play a ton tomorrow. It'll be a great opportunity for those guys to display their skills. They're both really athletic kids and gifted in the weight room. So they've had tremendous springs for us. Jordan Smith was having a really good spring you know, he suffered a minor little injury, but you know, he brings some depth to the position. He also brings some experience to the position where he knows the system, and he's been tremendous with helping with our younger guys in their transition to get to know the system better.
I'm going to ask you to relate a story that you related to the quarterback club, I think you know where I'm going with this. You said that your daughter was one of the great life lessons for you about the ability of people to learn, and it made you a better coach. Could you take a moment and relate that story? Because the general public probably has not heard that story from you.
Yeah, it's, you know, my daughter has Down syndrome, and, you know, it's with Down syndrome, it's not that she cannot learn, she just learns a little bit slower than the average person. And as a coach, we have to take the time and to understand each of our players because each of them learn differently. And she's presented to me and as a youth in her growing up, she's 16 years old now, but she taught me patience to understand that each guy won't get it quite the way maybe I get it. You know, so I have to be patient and try different methods to teach my guys, and I've got to get to know each and every one of my position guys and know how they respond and how they learn. But she's taught me tremendous patience, and it's been a blessing for me because before, you know, before she came into my life, and you know, as a youngster, I didn't really have the patience because football was easy for me as a player. It was just so natural. It just came to me. And now as a coach, it comes to me easily as well, but not to all my players. So I have to be able to communicate that and teach those guys in many different ways. You know, some guys get it first time I say it. Some guys need me to go on a board. Some guys need me to walk through it. Some guys need me to show the film. Some guys need me to do all of the above. So whichever guy I have to know that and have that patience to teach it.
And that's with everyone. Some people are great visual learners. Some are great book learners. You know, there's just everybody has their own way of picking it up. You also went from being a head coach to, you know, on the high school level. You're a position coach. What was the toughest part of that transition, and what was the easiest part of that transition for you?
Well, it's probably the same answer for both. The toughest part was going from you're in charge of everything to now you just have a portion of the team of responsibility with a group of guys. And to answer the other part of the question, that was also the easiest because now it's a lot less pressure. It's, you know, it's just I have a group of guys that right now I have 9 cornerbacks and a couple guys will be coming in through the summer. But that's my responsibility. That's how I have to contribute to the team. I have to make sure my guys are the very best position on the football team. I have to make sure my guys are fully prepared and equipped to go out on a Saturday afternoon and play a peak performance each week. So, you know, it's been a blessing for me. You know, as a head coach in high school, you know, you're in charge of everything from what pregame meal you're going to eat to what time the buses are going to leave. And, you know, now that's Coach Franklin's worry. That's not my concern. My concern is my 9 cornerbacks plus the couple coming in and just to make sure those guys are fully prepared and ready to go.
And also being 15 minutes early before he says you're supposed to be there.
Absolutely. Can't be late for anything.
You can't be late for anything. You are also in an interesting spot in your life. We talked about your daughter. Now here's the other part. You've been a high school coach where recruiters have come in. You've been a father where Justin King was recruited heavily. Now you're the recruiter. How does all that experience allow you to be a better and more understanding recruiter about what works and, you know, it's always not going to work perfectly, but what works and what makes sense?
Well, the benefit that I have is being able to be sit in each of those seats. So I've been on every side of the spectrum of recruiting, and I think I have a greater understanding as to what a prospect is looking for. The one common denominator that I've learned through it all is honesty. You know, just be honest. When I was a high school coach, I didn't want a college coach to come in and promise my kid a scholarship if he did this or that, and knowing it wasn't true. You know, all you want is honesty in the entire recruitment, and that's the one thing that, you know, I try to uphold as much as possible. Be forthright with the recruit so they can make an educated decision. As a recruiter now, you know, as I approach these recruits, with that honesty, you know, you don't have to negative recruit because Penn State is such a wonderful place that all we need to do is present who Penn State is. This is who we are academically. This is who we are socially. This is who we are athletically. And it speaks for itself. You know, you run into a lot of other recruiters and they're negative recruiting and bashing. You know, we stand on our own 2 feet. We're proud of who we are as Penn State. And, you know, for most guys, it's going to fit. But, you know, there's guys we'll lose, but, you know, they just weren't meant to come here. And we're going to worry about the guys that come here and be here and build success within our program.
Well, one of the many great items of having all this happen is to get you back home here. Thanks so much, Terry. It's always great talking to you. You know that.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Terry Smith, in charge of the corners. We'll come back, Christian Hackenberg, in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Well, like every Friday, it was turn-in day, and this week we've been featuring the 2013 certified pre-owned Lincoln MKX. The all-wheel drive SUV has been a pleasure to drive. Heated steering wheel for those cold winter days, air-conditioned comfortable leather seats for those warm summer days, and the panoramic sunroof, just some of the great features you'll find in this vehicle, complete with navigation and less than 14,000 miles, so there's still some factory warranty left and even more. Check it out at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. You can also find it at sunburymotors.com. Certified pre-owned Lincoln. Think about it for your next car purchase.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
The year was 1915. Thomas Edison was lighting up the countryside. Abigail Geisinger was starting a local hospital. Henry Ford was building the Model T. And J.O. Mertz founded the Sunbury Motor Company.
100 years later, Sunbury Motors has become the most established and recognizable Ford franchise in all of northeastern and central Pennsylvania. In 1915, Sunbury Motors had an inventory of around 10 vehicles. And today, there's over 500 to choose from. They had 2 employees then and almost 200 now. SMC continuously improves for you. Sunbury Motors has a complete service department with a separate diesel shop and quick lane for your convenience. A state-of-the-art body shop and frame and alignment shop, along with one of the largest Ford parts operations on the East Coast. In the past several years, Sunbury Motors has also added the full lineup of Lincoln and Hyundai vehicles. Everyone is welcome to become part of the SMC growing family. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Thanks, J.O.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And earlier, here in the Sunbury Motors studio, I had a chance to talk with Christian Hackenberg, and I asked him how he evaluated his spring as to how things turned out.
I think I've done some pretty good things, but at the same time, you know, I feel like I left some things on the field that I could have done a little bit better with. So, it just gives me a little more motivation heading into camp and in the summer and the spring game to fix those things and ultimately make those strengths as well. And do the things I need to do to make sure that my game's more complete come next fall.
In talking to Ricky Ronnie, he told me footwork is something he feels you have improved. How comfortable are you? Where's your comfort level with your footwork right now compared to where it was? Not a major adjustment, but how comfortable are you?
Yeah, I think understanding the footwork within the scheme, with the system, is the thing that I improved on. But at the same time, I think I need to improve on my footwork consistency overall from play to play now, in terms of the speed at which I drop, the purpose in which I do my movements. I need to focus those things and turn those... fine-tune those, I guess you could say. So, I feel a lot more comfortable within the footwork and within what the system's asking me to do, but, you know, there's still a little tweaking to do in there.
Obviously, the great quarterbacks are the ones, like, let's take Brady and Manning, for example. They probably know where all 21 chess pieces are on the field at all times. It's just the way they are. They're in their 30s. They know. For you, how slow has the game become for you? And in this system, when did you start to feel like it had slowed down for you?
I think just having now 2 seasons under my belt, seeing so many different things thrown at me, the game has definitely slowed down, and I'm seeing things and I'm realizing and picking things up that, you know, I couldn't have seen myself doing my freshman year. But, I think within the system, it took off towards the end of last year. I was seeing things really well at the end of last year, just getting us into the right play, you know, not necessarily executing it the way that it needed to be executed or whatever from my end or as a unit, but, you know, seeing the things, it really clicked last year. And I felt like there's last couple, 3 or 4 games, I played really well mentally and understanding, realizing things, setting protections, whatever it is. So, that's when it really clicked for me, and now just fine-tuning it and getting ready to go with it, I think, is the biggest thing.
Finally, when you walk out of the building, number 5 in the list is ignore the noise. Right. Has it been, it seems like the world seems to know what you think all the time, and only you know what you think all the time. Has that been difficult?
It hasn't been difficult because I have such a great family and such a great support system with my teammates and the coaching staff. So for me, it hasn't been as difficult as people would think it would be. But it's just kind of the way it is. You're in the spotlight all the time. My high school coach always said you're in the fishbowl, and the fishbowl seems to get bigger and bigger as you get higher and higher in the ranks. So, for me, it's it's whatever. You know, I just really focus on what the people who care about me and who I care about and what they think, and that's just sort of my mentality about that.
Thanks, appreciate it.
No problem, Steve. Thank you.
Christian Hackenberg. I asked him the last question for a reason. You know, a lot of people see how he reacts in the field, and they assume what he's thinking. They assume he's going to transfer. They assume... A lot of people seem to assume a lot of things about him, and yet he keeps going about his business. He's not, you know, he's not adapting to the system. And it did get to a point last year. The TV show Unrivaled, Penn State Football, you'll see that there are some interviews in there that are done with the players that are always done the day after the game. I'm actually the one that does those interviews. And there was one week, it was sometime in November, I can't remember after which game. It was after a game they won. And they said, look, you know, Steve, Christian wants to talk about Ricky Ronnie and John Donovan. So we're going to have him do the interview. I said, okay, fine. I mean, because he felt like he needed to make everyone understand that he's on board with all of these guys. Why? Because people were assuming what he thinks. He's 20 years old. And I want to tell you, he has acted about as mature as any 20-year-old you can possibly ask for. Being a major FBS quarterback from day one of his career to now. And he's made great improvement. And the area where he's made his biggest improvement this spring, maybe you'll get a chance to see it tomorrow, will be in his footwork. His footwork is much, much better now than it was the middle of last season. And he's done a lot of work on that. Look, they're lucky to have this kid as their quarterback. Really are. I have a lot of respect for him. Works awfully hard. Very, very hard. And he has been really into what's going on with this team. Really into it. He's had a lot of genuine and natural enthusiasm. Ross Travis made an interesting decision. He wants to be the next Jimmy Graham, the next Antonio Gates, the next Julius Thomas. In other words, basketball player turned NFL tight end. We'll talk to Ross in the final half hour of the show. But first, to the bottom of the hour we go, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I better up my game. It sounds like Lawrence is trying to... We're competing here for guests. Number of guests on the show. My goodness, Mark's loaded with stuff. That's great. Yeah, I better show up with my game intact.
Yeah, get your game face on, buddy.
Holy moly. Holy Mark. All right.
Holy on the mark.
Yes. Wow. OTM is, I mean... His promo was longer than the news. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection anywhere. Tailgate tomorrow, 73 degrees, sunny sky. It's going to be gorgeous out. Gorgeous. Looking forward to it. And you need to make sure that your tailgate is ready to go. And that means a stop to Brewers Outlet. Also, snacks, the roasted peanuts fresh and hot every day, soft drinks, and the pickle bar second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. What's interesting is we've been talking, obviously, a lot about Penn State football this week. And we had Greg Pickle from PennLive.com in the 3:30 half hour. Last half hour, Terry Smith and Christian Hackenberg. Yesterday, James Franklin. We've had Sean Spencer, Josh Gattis on, Ricky Ronnie. And so we've had a lot about the game. Now we're going to talk about a Penn Stater who was opted for the NFL draft but didn't play a down of Penn State football. like Chuck Crist, for example, who back in the 70s played basketball at Penn State and ended up playing with the New York Giants and the New Orleans Saints in his career. I think Jesse Arnell was also drafted by the NFL, went to the NFL as well back in the 50s. Ross Travis. Ross, welcome. Great to have you with us.
No doubt, Steve. Nice to talk to you again, man.
Nice to talk to you, too. Back in, I want to say 2000, Penn State played an NIT game in the Jordan Center against Kent State. And on that team was Antonio Gates. And Penn State won the game, but Gates played really well and has gone on now to the NFL. What was it that swung you to the idea, you know what, let me see if I can be the next Jimmy Graham or Antonio Gates?
Yeah, definitely. You know, just with my numbers I produced on the court, you know, no numbers that really differentiated me from any of the guys that are in the league now playing. You know, at 6'6", you know, I didn't really show any athletic ability that separates me from the rest of the guys that can move me forward to playing in the NBA. So for me, just looking at the trend that has gone on over the years, you know, reading about guys like Julius Thomas, Jimmy Graham, and Antonio Gates, who had very similar numbers, all terrific rebounders, weren't the best scorers, but went and attacked the ball, you know. I saw a lot of them in myself, so, you know, it made it easy for me to decide to make the transition to football.
And that's one of the areas when you are a rebounder and you're Penn State's third all-time leading rebounder, you have to get the ball at the high point. Was that one of the areas where you said to yourself, that's where I can possibly translate?
Yeah, definitely. As well as, you know, my role here at Penn State, playing on the basketball team, my role was to play hard, get rebounds, be that scrappy, gritty player. You know, Coach Chambers referred to me as the team's junkyard dog. And I think that that's what those guys were on their teams as well. Speaking of Julius Thomas, Jimmy Graham, and Antonio Gates, you know, we all have something in common, and that's we're not scared to go battle against the guys that are bigger than us on the court. We're going to go get the ball at the highest point. We're not just going to let the ball fall to us. We're going to go attack the ball, and we're going to get rough. We're going to bump a little bit in there. So I think that's something that can translate over to the football field.
Ross, where will you train for this to give yourself an opportunity to show people what you can do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this past Tuesday, I had a combine where I worked out in front of multiple teams. So I thought that went pretty well. As far as training goes, I'm working out with a trainer that my agent introduced me to. So that's going well. Right now, the biggest thing is, you know, putting on the weight. That's one of the big things that a lot of these scouts and teams have told me. You know, you got to put on the weight, and we want you at this point, come this point. So right now, you know, I'm working hard, trying to work on, you know, speed, power, and putting on weight.
And what's interesting is you're in great shape. You've always been in great shape, a finely conditioned athlete. But there also is a difference. When I've watched football players try to play basketball or basketball players trying to play football, there's also a different shape for each. So what are the adjustments you've had to make in your training to get ready for football that would not translate to basketball training?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the training is so much different. You know, in basketball, you know, it's more about it's more finesse. Your body moves differently. It's more, you know, reaction and stuff like that. I mean, on a basketball court, you might only go 5 yards. You have to turn around and play defense. You never enter really a full-out sprint. As in football, you may go 20, 40, 60 yards in a full-out sprint at your top speed, and then you get a 30-second break. So just the training between the two sports is so much different. You know, with football now, I'm working in the weight room more powerlifting to increase my speed and get that burst of speed off the line that you need in football.
Basketball for a moment. How do you look at your 4 years at Penn State? 116 last year, 118 this year. How do you view your experience at Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't necessarily finish as well as a lot of guys would have liked, but you know, I definitely took some from it. You know, playing for Coach Chambers, aside from wins and losses, you grow up as a man, and that's one of the things I always respect about Coach Chambers and the staff here at Penn State basketball. You know, they care about you. They're gonna teach you life lessons that you can take with you for the rest of your life. I became a man here. You know, the record didn't end up how we wanted to, but we still came to work every day and we grinded. And, you know, that's definitely something that I'll take away from this.
Now, out of all of this, you know, is basketball, now I know you this is going to be a football thing, is basketball in Europe still an option down the road, say things did not pan out?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't touched the basketball since we lost in the Big Ten tournament. So my main focus is football right now. You know, I made that commitment to myself. I said, hey, man, if you're going to do this, you got to dive in it 100%. You can't go in half and then use the other half for basketball. You know, you got to really attack this if you want the opportunity that you think that you can get. So right now, I'm all football 5 days a week, and on the weekends, you know, working on route running, catching the ball. Everything right now is football. Haven't really thought too much about basketball. So
right. Yeah, and that makes complete sense. You've got to dive in. I mean, this is a major commitment you have to make. When did the idea first start to float in your head? And who maybe is it something you came up with yourself? Who planted this idea and when?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could take you all the way back to high school, ninth grade, which is the last year I played. Before I entered ninth grade, I was actually about to transfer to a football school in Minnesota who was known for winning championships. That school is Eden Prairie. So I was about to transfer there and play football. You know, it didn't have enough time to decide, so I ended up staying at Chaska High School, which is where I went to high school, and playing basketball. And since then, you know, it's always been in the back of my mind, you know, playing football again is something that I always wanted to do. You know, I finished my 4 years here at Penn State playing basketball, and, you know, I joke around with the guys all the time. I tell them, you know, man, it'd be fun to play football again and get out there and catch passes again. And I joke with them all the time, joke with the staff. And, you know, it's funny. Here we are now. And, you know, everything's going great so far. Just working hard and showing my dedication towards the game.
Ross, a privilege to broadcast your games over the last 4 years. Enjoyed every minute of it. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck with this. You got a real shot.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ross Travis with us. We'll come back and wrap it up for this week in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Ten more minutes and then you're rid of me for the week.
Actually, I'll see you tomorrow.
I know you will. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Be great to have you here. We're on at 4 tomorrow, by the way. And Jack Ham and I will handle the broadcast tomorrow. We will have... you will hear from James Franklin tomorrow on the broadcast. You will hear tomorrow from Sandy Barber, I believe, on the broadcast. Christian Hackenberg as well. So we'll get rolling at 4. I believe the actual scrimmage starts at 4:06. That's how it's going to work tomorrow.
Must be a TV thing.
Gee, you think?
I know. Call me Captain Obvious. Go ahead.
It's amazing how they rule the world. But it looks like we're going to get Jim Delaney on the show next week.
That's great.
Yeah. And be a lot of things to talk to him about. I'm looking forward to discussing with him. So I think that'll be. I think that's it'd just be great to get his take, because a lot of people don't realize one of the reasons I want him on the show, besides the fact that he is Jim Delaney, is that a lot of people I don't think realize
that June 4th will be the 25th anniversary of Penn State getting into the Big Ten officially. That's the day that it was voted, on, and the date they got in. And so we'll talk a little bit about that, too, among other things. There's so many items going on right now. I mean, so many items. And that's... it's interesting to see intercollegiate athletics. The bottom line is, what comes down to this, there's a lot of real, of true short-sighted perspective from the media on football and men's basketball when it comes to money. And the reason I say that is as follows. There's no question football and men's basketball make a ton of money. And so when people in the media report about that, they are spot on, absolutely right. When they talk about the fact that, you know, here are the athletes out there doing their deal and, you know, what are they getting for it? That's a legitimate question to at least talk about. But it's not as if the money in football and men's basketball is going into a Grand Cayman's account. The money is being used so that field hockey players can have scholarships. Baseball players can. Softball players can. Women's basketball. Men's soccer. Women's soccer. Cross country. Track and field. Wrestling. Women's ice hockey. Men's and women's gymnastics. Men's and women's volleyball. How do you think that happens? Where do you think the money comes from for that? As I pointed out many times, I know the wrestling fans think that the wrestling program is raking in lots of cash because they sell out at Rec Hall, and they and again, they are always stunned to find out they operated a deficit. Now, has the deficit lessened a bit because of the sellouts? No question. Okay, the deficit has lessened because of the sellouts. But they still run a deficit even there. And that's not to put the sport down. I'm talking reality here. This is not a commentary on sports making money. This is a commentary on the fact that that's where the money goes for football and men's basketball. It goes to, obviously, goes to football, and it goes to men's basketball, and it goes to 29 other sports here. Men's ice hockey makes money here, which is a huge plus. But do you remember the old saying of, and it dealt with Watergate, follow the money? I think what more people have to do with intercollegiate athletics is literally to follow the money. I saw last night the 30 for 30 with Sonny Vaccaro on ESPN about shoe money. Sonny Vaccaro is a brilliant businessman. He's very passionate, very highly intelligent guy. No question. Now, I've never been on board with everything he's done. And I know, and I don't know him personally. I think maybe I met him once, maybe. Because, I mean, Sonny's out of the Pittsburgh area. And, you know, I mean, look at today even. Darren Revelle reported today that Nike signed Todd Gurley, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Amari Cooper, and Melvin Gordon. Nike just signed them all today. Darren Revelle reported it today from ESPN. But when you look at it, you know, and he says, you know, they talked about the O'Bannon case. Look, the O'Bannon case is interesting, and I've talked about the O'Bannon case many, many times. And I know Jim Delaney in his era, they had what, quote, laundry money, a small amount of money. And eventually that got phased out. When he played at North Carolina, they had laundry money. And I know Joe talked about that often. Well, in today's world, what you're seeing now with cost of attendance is, you know, essentially a bigger number than that, but still, that's essentially what it is. The O'Bannon case was really interesting. And I know at the end, Sonny Vaccaro is talking about what a great step forward it was. But again, is it a step forward if, in order to do this, you're stripping field hockey players and softball players and baseball players and men's soccer players of their scholarships to balance the budget to do it? Is that the purpose of intercollegiate athletics, to do that? And that's why I understand what they're talking about overall, but I also think that in the major mission of intercollegiate athletics, it's also a short-sighted vision that some have when it comes to football and men's basketball. That's why I thought the 30 for 30 last night was so interesting. It showed how competitive the shoe business was, you know. They were talking about basketball, mostly. Oh, well. It was... You get a chance, they'll be rerunning it, replaying it several times. And as they do, yeah, take a look at it. It'll give you the pluses and minuses of it. Not saying Sonny Vaccaro's been all wrong about everything. I've never been a big fan, but it's irrelevant whether I'm a fan or not. But it certainly is a very interesting story about a guy that's been in the thick of it for years in his career. All right. Great week. Enjoyed it. Great being with you today. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. Beaver Stadium. Be there or be square.
We'll be out at 4 o'clock tomorrow with the game here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. Stock up for your tailgate. They've got the best selection of imports, domestics, and microbrews. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us.